Well, happy Sabbath again. I've already mentioned that Pentecost is coming up on May 28th. It's a holy day. It's 50 days from the Sabbath and the days of unleavened bread. There's lots of information. If you have questions about that, we have great, great booklets about it. But Pentecost, if I was to ask or do a poll, if I had that Menti app that I was talking about and said, what's your favorite holy day? Probably, I don't know, what about, right over here, I'll ask these guys, Savea, Kirsten, your favorite holy day is Pentecost? Not so much, maybe. Right? It's just not as exciting. It can be that way anyways. We plan about the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, and you think, oh, Pentecost. When I was a kid, I was like, oh, now we have to go to church 2 days in a row. But it really is, it's really important. It's exciting. Pentecost is about our ability, the church, receiving God's Holy Spirit. And it means so much to us. It's part of God's plan, and it really does mean a lot. And the question comes up with that, and we're talking about God's Holy Spirit in us, and so we need to ask, how does God's Holy Spirit work in my life? Are we allowing God's Spirit to bring power to our lives? Or do we deny that power to work? It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to understand God's will, God's word. It allows us to change, to make the changes that we all need to make in our lives, that we must make. It's part of our calling to change. Today I'm going to look at a sermon given by Peter in Acts 2. So it's a sermon on a sermon. That was my title. I might not be very creative, but that's what it is. We could turn there. You could turn over to Acts if you want to. But we're going to look at this sermon. We're going to read about it. It was done on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit was given to the church, given to people. It gave them power, it gave them understanding, and a whole new relationship with God. And as we read through this, we should consider, what does the Holy Spirit do in my life? What does the Holy Spirit do in my life? Some of this information that I'm using came from an article called Perpetuating the Power of Pentecost. That was by John Miller. And then there were some links set out this last week called The Power to Change. There's three Beyond Today videos. I would recommend you watch some of those before Pentecost as you're preparing and getting ready for this day, learning about it more. So let's start in Acts 1. I'm going to start with the backstory here before we get into this sermon. When I was reading through this, thinking about it again this morning, and this sermon by Peter, it's called Peter's Sermon. It's probably one of the most famous, I would say it is one of the most famous sermons recorded in the Bible, maybe besides a couple by Jesus Christ, but it took like 5 minutes to give, is what I'm saying. So this sermon will be a little bit longer than that, but it's a short sermon, and he did a lot in that amount of time. So let's start in Acts 1. We're going to get the backstory on this sermon and this that was given on Pentecost by Peter. Starting in Acts 1:1, It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. So this was just after the crucifixion of Christ that we're talking about. And then he showed himself again. It says he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it's this time after the crucifixion. Jesus Christ showed himself for 40 days and then he was taken up. Well, we'll continue on here. In verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus was saying, something different is going to happen. You are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to happen in a few days. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And they said, so don't worry about that when Christ is going to return. It says, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Jesus was saying this, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and it's going to change things. You're going to be a witness to me to the world. So I want to stop right there and just, before we get into the Acts 2, and just briefly talk about what the Holy Spirit is. That's not what this sermon is about, but I'm just going to quickly mention it. The Holy Spirit we're talking about is the power that proceeds from God. It's called the Spirit of God. It's his essence. It's his power. It's who he is, what he is of. It is not a trinity. And this is very important. It's something that makes the Church of God very different from some other Christian churches. So it's important to know, but it's not what we're going to dive into. If you have questions on that, again, there's much more on ucg.org. We also have the fundamental beliefs or other booklets, even in the back, that can help you read through that. But the Holy Spirit, it's given to people who repent and are baptized. And we're going to read through that in a little bit. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the very Spirit of God. It's power, love, and mind of God, who he is, God's being or essence. So when we're talking about being a Christian and receiving God's Spirit, that's what we're receiving. It's that part of God, what he is. All right, let's continue on in Acts 2. Acts 2, and we'll start in verse 1. We'll read about this, what was already told was going to happen. Now, it was about 10 days earlier, and we're getting up to the day of Pentecost, 50 days. And this, when this event happens, and this sermon takes place. So we're going to start Acts 2 and verse 1. We'll read about receiving this Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Which is also an example to us. being together, being in one accord, sharing time together. This is talking about a holy day when this happened on Pentecost, and something that we look forward to as well. Verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." And something happened here that was new. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And we read this and it's like, wow, this is so amazing. And I wish we could see things like this today. And we look for those outward signs. And really what the Holy Spirit is about and what God gives us is internally. We need to remember that. God gives us gifts. He works with us, gives us power internally through his Holy Spirit. But this day, when this was made available, it's a great event. A great event. Very exciting. It was well known. And we'll see that as we read through the story here. And this is important to consider and read through. This is, many have read this before, and it will be read again in the coming weeks and certainly probably on the day of Pentecost. But it's good to review and go through the entire day and sermon of this time. And we can ask ourselves, are we in one accord? And are we prepared? Are we using and growing this power that's been given to us, the Holy Spirit? It's a choice that we all have. And we'll look at scriptures to show us how this power works in us as we go through. All right, I'm going to continue in Acts 2 in verse 5, just after this miraculous display had happened. It says, "The crowd's response. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven." Every nation under heaven were there. This is important. We'll bring this out in a little bit as well. But it continues on. "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together." So there's this house, there was 120 people there, and then they could hear something going on. So this crowd started gathering. "So the multitude came together and were confused, because every one of them heard them speak in his own language." So as there was all these people from all these different countries there, as the apostles were speaking, everyone could hear them in their own language. A clear miracle, something that we couldn't do today. I mean, maybe we could all, if we went to we had a room full of people from many countries, it's a miracle, right? Maybe we could all have Google Translate and try to listen or something like that, but it would be a mess. This was a miracle and an amazing event that took place. "Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?'" So it was an amazing thing. "And others were said here," they said, they're of new wine. They're drinking. It was this uproar that was taking place. So we see what's happening here is this promise that Christ had given 10 days earlier of receiving the Holy Spirit. And it was done through this, again, miraculous display of power that defied all human understanding. It also transformed Peter, who, if you think about it, had just denied Christ just a short time before that, less than a couple months before, and denied Christ, and now here he is. Here he is giving this message that is impacting now thousands of people. But things were happening, and we'll see that as we move on here through this story. Continue on in verse 13. They said they thought they were of new wine. Now we get into where it says, in my heading, it says Peter's sermon. So Peter hears this and he stands up. He's going to say something to the crowd. He's going to address them. So in Acts 2, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So it was the morning. I find that kind of a strange thing to say. We're not drunk because it's just the morning, but that's what it says. He goes on to say, this is what's happening. This was prophesied to happen. It's not an unknown event. So in verse 16, he says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you can go look that up later if you want, and we'll read through it. But it's talking about this next step in God's plan, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. It was prophesied to happen. Way back in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ said it was going to happen, and now it was happening. So we'll read about this prophecy that Peter rehearses. In verse 17, Acts 2, verse 17, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Again, saying that this would happen. This Holy Spirit would be available, Spirit of God. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And then it ends with something very, very important that we should all remember. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there was a promise of this Holy Spirit being available to people in whoever was called. And there would be this opportunity here to answer. And it started on this day of Pentecost. Now, As people, we tend to put labels on things. We put labels on people, on others, on places, where people are from, what their past is. And going back to what I mentioned about the General Council of Elders and seeing what was being done in other countries, we often have an internal focus, right? We live in this country, maybe in our neighborhood, whatever it is. God doesn't see things that way. And it comes out in this sermon. I want to turn over, keep your place in Acts 2. I want to turn over to Galatians real quick. Galatians 3. Go to Galatians 3 and verse 26. I want to bring out this point that maybe we put labels on people, but God does not. Galatians 3, verse 26. It says, for you are all sons of God through the faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And whoever's been baptized here has put on Christ. It's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. So it says, as many as who are baptized, no matter who you are. And we see things going on. We see issues. But whoever you are, wherever you are from, whatever your background is, Peter is saying it in his sermon, but Christ as well, saying, if that doesn't matter, he's asking you to accept this and move forward. I'm going to turn back to Acts. Let's turn back to Acts 2. We left off in 22. So we're here again, and Peter's addressing this group of people. They're from every walk of life, every part of the world. As we continue on, and we had this miraculous event. Now this is Peter, who again has this, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking. He's speaking the truth of God. So in Acts 2, verse 22, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. So they had seen these signs that Jesus Christ had done. They knew. It said, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And it says, for David says concerning him, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. So there's hope in this message. There's hope in what's being said here. And what is that hope? The hope is that we are part of God's family. That death is not the end for us. And in verse 27 it says that, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. So we see Peter here, again, just received the Holy Spirit, and he's demonstrating passion and emotion, and there's suspense. There's talking about this real life issues, and he's talking about using that Holy Spirit and growing it, moving forward. It was done on this day of Pentecost, day that we're going to be observing in just a couple weeks. And again, the offer is there to anyone who will hear and accept God's calling. We all have access to this power. And just like then, it gives us power to even to speak, to minister. We don't use that term a lot, but to minister, to be an example to others, to say what's going on in this world, to know there is an answer, because the world is a mess. There's a lot going on, and we know that there's an answer. There's a way out. There's a better way of life, and this is not the end. But we can use this too. We can speak these truths. We can use the Holy Spirit that is in us to engage, to convict others, even. I'm not saying to go out and preach on the corners or hold signs up or anything like that, but these opportunities come up, and the Holy Spirit gives us that power to move, to take action. Also, we know things are, it gives us power to know things are wrong, that we've messed up, that ideas that we have are not where we should be. When we hear that and God's saying, you know, go a different way. Go a different way. We understand that and we know it. I want to continue this story in Acts 2 and verse 29. And again, this is Peter continuing to speak. And he's speaking about what was done. Now, he's talking to this big crowd about Jesus Christ and what they had done, and they're wrong. And now they understand. Verse 29 says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his tomb is with us today." So King David, he's dead and buried. It says, "Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." So they all saw Jesus Christ. They knew what had happened. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit," it says, "he poured out this which you now see and hear." So it's saying this is the result of Jesus Christ. It's his Holy Spirit. It's on us. And they were using it at that time. That is the power that they were witnessing. In verse 34, it says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So these were powerful words. These were powerful words. It was the truth. Peter was saying the truth to this crowd. And it's something that we can do as well. Peter didn't dilute the truth. Sometimes we're afraid to say what is the truth. We want to do things in love, but Peter said the truth, right? He didn't dilute it and make it politically correct. He said what needed to be said. And the Holy Spirit guided him in that. And it drove the crowd to make a change. We'll read about that in just a minute. I want to turn over to another scripture here at this point. We're going to go over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1 and verse 6. We're talking about this power that Peter had received, that this Holy Spirit and what it did. And it does that for us as well. We'll read that here in 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 6. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Power and love and sound mind. And then the next part of the sentence says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." So here's God's power that we have access to. If you've been baptized, accepted the sacrifice of Christ, had the laying on of hands, you have God's Holy Spirit, which we've been called to do and to accept. These are powerful words, and we think about whose power is this and whose love is this? It's the power of God that we get through the Holy Spirit. Whose mind? We can have a sound mind, a mind of peace, even in this world where things are a mess. Things are wrong. They're not how they're supposed to be. They're powerful words, but it comes from the Holy Spirit, that power. I want to say that this power, it applies to us. Applies to us right now. You can turn back to Acts and read about this as we go forward, as we finish up this sermon. Go back to Acts 2. But God gives us His Spirit. He doesn't take away our free will, though. He gives us the choice to make decisions. The Holy Spirit doesn't erase our human nature so that we never make a mistake again. But we receive God's power, God's love, God's sound mindness. And it guides us in this life. I'm going to pick up here in Acts 2 and verse 36. So Peter had continued on with this story, and he said, he was telling the crowd that they were guilty. They had killed Jesus Christ. In verse 36, it said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." In verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They understood what they had done. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" These are always very powerful words to me, and it's like, what do I do? What do I do now? And Peter responded with instruction and the road to action, what to do. It's one that we know, one that we're going to talk about more as the day of Pentecost comes along. But we acknowledge that we're guilty of sin and that we need to move forward. And Peter says what to do. In verse 38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent.'" Means stop, repent, change, "and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This was the path forward. It's the path forward for us as well. "For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." When we receive God's Holy Spirit, it changes us. It gives us power in this life, but it's a down payment on eternal life, to being in God's kingdom, being part of God's family. I want to turn over to one other scripture here in Galatians to just touch on this. Go over to Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verse 6 says, "And because you are sons," and say sons and daughters, "God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of the God through Christ." And that's the opportunity we have, to be an heir of God through Christ. This is important. We read these verses too about who this promise is to, And sometimes there's some who are, especially younger at times, will say, I don't want to do this right now. Right? I don't want to take this on. Church is boring. God's way is boring. Maybe those comments will be said. Maybe I said that when I was a teenager myself. And then maybe we'll say, well, come back. I'll come back later. And that's not what God's offering. God's saying that this promise is to you. If you're a young person, the promise is to you right now. We just read that. And it's a choice that you have. You can say, well, I'm not baptized yet. Well, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 7:14. Don't need to turn there, but it says that you are already set apart. You're already set apart. If you're a young person hearing this, not baptized, that calling is to you. We heard in the sermonette about Jonah. Jonah was asked to do something. He knew he was supposed to do it. And what did he do? He said, I don't want to do that. I'm going to try to run. I'm going to try to run. We don't want to go down that path. It was an example to us. God's calling you. Children and to every age, whatever age you are. Let's turn back to Acts 2. We'll finish up this sermon here, and we already finished it up. We'll say what happened now at that point. So in Acts 2 and verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that's the step we need to take. And I would encourage that, to look into that. If you haven't made that commitment to get more information, you can talk to somebody who is baptized. You can talk to an elder. There's information we have as well about taking that step into baptism and what that looks like in your life. It says they were baptized. And that day, this was a big event. It said about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and divided them up, and there was no one who had need. So continuing daily in one accord, again, back to that one accord, they were together, they were a group. They were in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God for having favor with all people and knowing. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. It's a great story. And it's something that impacts us today and something that continues on in our lives. But we have this story where Peter received the Holy Spirit. He preached. He was empowered. People listened and heard. God granted repentance and gave the Holy Spirit. And in this example, in the New Testament church, it was in 31 AD, it was this amazing, astonishing event that took place that we can read about today. So 120 gathered there at one point, and it ended up being 3,000 people who were baptized, committed themselves to God and Jesus Christ at that time. It's a great story. Great story, one that we should refer to often. I want to read one more scripture. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter 1 and verse 1. We have this example for us today, like I mentioned. Second Peter 1 and verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace. It says, as his divine power, that's what we're talking about today, the Holy Spirit, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. This is such a blessing to have access to God's Holy Spirit. Not only in this life, but for eternity. It says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, the very power of God, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. This Pentecost and sermon that we read about here in Acts, it was an event without precedence or equal. I don't expect to see flames on heads here in a couple weeks. But the church grew. People received God's Holy Spirit, and that impacts us to this day. And even though we won't see that event, that miraculous event, maybe in a couple weeks, we will be there together, observing the holy day of Pentecost. And it doesn't mean that God's power, that power of the Holy Spirit, cannot or should not be in you, in us. Which brings us back to that original question. Are you and I using it? Are we growing it? Are we tapping into that power of Jesus Christ, this Pentecost? Living God's way, accepting his way of life, the sacrifice of Christ and the Holy Spirit, it's a process. It requires God's Holy Spirit, something that we have access to. It requires that to work, but the results are growth that can't be explained. It's only through God, through God's power. So the call is to you. Just consider this as the day of Pentecost comes near and as we observe it. Think about this sermon. Think about receiving the Holy Spirit. And that calling is to all people. All people who accept the calling. And we have access to this power. The sermon applies to us now, and we are being asked to accept the Holy Spirit in our lives and move forward in God's plan. So may we all rise to that challenge on the upcoming day of Pentecost. And let's go into Pentecost allowing God's Spirit to bring us that power to our lives as we look forward to eventually living as a spirit being, as the very family of God in his kingdom.